Hello, Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition of Cubs on Tap. Happy Sunday. I am Ron Luce. I am joined by the one, the only. They call him the Cheese Man because his last name's Ricotta, Mr. Joey Ricotta. Joey, happy Sunday Funday, my friend. How are you?
Happy Sunday Funday, Ron. I'm good. I'm tired. I'm sore. Feel like I'm 33 years old and just was drinking all weekend, which was kind of the case this weekend. But I also dove into third base today, which I probably shouldn't have done, and very late and random, and kind of fucked up my shoulder and neck today a little bit. But nice. I'm good. It's not as bad as it's been. So I'm good, man. I wish the Cubs would have won today, but I'm all right. How are you doing?
I am also incredibly tired. I am right there with you, my friend. It was a long weekend. Those that follow along with all of us on the socials obviously know I do some game calling action out in the Quad Cities. I was out there this weekend for games. So long drives, not a lot of sleep. So I'm right there with you, man. And we unfortunately are talking about a split with the Miami Marlins for these Cubs. Two games up, two games down, and we're going to get into all things here in just a moment. Jeremiah in the comments, hashtag there's Joey. We found him. He's no longer lost. And that is 100% the case. Joey Ricotta is here in person. But Joey, we got a late start on this series. We're going to kind of breeze through these here. We're gonna tap the keg handle and quickly steam through these four games just as a quick recap for everybody at home. On Friday, because we didn't get a Thursday game. Thursday's game got rained out. Ultimately became a split doubleheader on Saturday, which we're going to get to here in a few minutes because Joey, I want you to talk about your experience going to that second game on Saturday. But on Friday, the Cubs took care of business. That was an 8-3 win. Honestly, it was a beautiful day to be out at the ballpark. I was there on Friday. I got to play a little bit of hooky, and I got to get out of, you know, some other things early, and we got to get to the ballpark in time. So We'll dive into all the specifics and the fun from that.
The more important thing.
Yes.
The more important thing.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get out of the ballpark. We got to the ballpark.
100%. But that was an 8-3 win. Beautiful day. Jameson Taillon looked really good. And something certainly that is worth discussion here. And then game one, brutal, brutal ending, obviously. Alzolay gives up the homer in the top of the ninth. And the Marlins escape with a 3-2 win. It could have been a 2-1 Cubs win. But that's just how it goes sometimes. But the Cubs were able to make up for it in that second game. Coming from behind to win 5-3, Shota Imanaga picks up his third win of the season already in that second game of the doubleheader. So the Cubs led in the series, had a chance to win it on Sunday, and unfortunately they were unable to do so. Fall 6-3 to the Miami Marlins. Cabrera picks up the win in just his second start now of the season. He had a little bit of a late start to the year due to some injuries. Kyle Hendricks falls to 0-3 with a 12 ERA as things stand. Joey, before we talk the negatives, because let's be honest, we're going to dive into all of them, and I see them in the comments here, and everybody's curious about it. But I want you to talk about your experience going on Saturday a little bit and what it was like in the bleachers. You said it was cold as hell, but you got to see a Canario homer. As Jeremiah says here, at least Cody hit another 420 homer. Belly went yard in that game as well. Just what was your experience like? Was that, besides opening day, that was your first game, right, that you were at Wrigley?
Yeah, first game back from opening day, which, you know, unfortunately for me, I can't make it out there all that often because of work, and the weekday stuff is kind of a pain in the ass. But
and it's not like you live around the corner from the ballpark or anything. You're a cool, yeah, calm, collective hour and a half west.
Right. It's a travel for me. It's fine. You know, I don't mind making the drive. I love driving personally, so it's like it's okay, or taking the train. You know, being safe about it, of course, but you know, because I do like enjoying some brewskis, so you gotta
make
sure
you can crack them.
Little crack'em sessions in the bleachers. But man, that game on Saturday, the nightcap there. First of all, I'll backtrack a little bit. The ride over there, the drive to the ballpark, games on the radio. We're listening. Me, my dad, his buddy, kind of talked him into going to the game. We bought him a ticket Friday night, saw him at the Ice Hawks game. my dad and his friend, and he's like, oh yeah, I'll go to the game tomorrow. I'm like, here, cool, $20. We're getting you to the game. You're coming with us.
Love that.
So boys' day, you know, I asked Kayla, I'm like, hey, you wanna come too? She's like, no, you guys have a boys' day. I'm like, all right, done deal. Nice. Let's do it. But it was cold, man. It was very cold out there. Right over there, or driving to Wrigley, games on the radio, and everything's going smoothly, you know. Elsley gets in the game, and I just had to say it. Everyone can blame me. Sorry, first of all. But I said, now it would be better for us going to the second game if the Cubs lost the first game, because they're probably going to win the second game. I'm sorry, because almost immediately after I said that, home run. And I'm like, why the fuck did I say that? Why did I say that? And my dad goes, I don't know. Why did you?
calling you out from the jump.
So he called me out.
That's funny.
But, dude, great time in the bleachers. It was chilly. You know, they had the blankets out there, and we're all hoodied up, and a lot of people had gloves, and, you know, whatever, we made with some people. It was pretty lively, though, I will say that. For a game, it's a Saturday night. Wrigley in the bleachers, you kind of expect the crowd to be a little bit amplified, but
100%.
It was freaking cold, but you really didn't feel it for me anyways, because I was, you know, had a few brewskis, and the chanting, though, like, you got to see some chugs out there. I mean,
we love that.
Michael Bush coming through clutch, seeing the Canario bomb was awesome, the belly bomb. My dad basically called the belly bomb, which Juice also called. He had it as his dinger pick. And he was like, that's my favorite player, Cody Bellinger. 2 seconds later, bang. and for him to see him, and then being able to see Bellinger in center field, he's like, this is so cool out here. And for, like, full transparency here too, my dad's been to a ton of games, but he has never sat. He's 69 years old. He has never sat in the bleachers
until
Saturday night.
Nice.
So what an awesome experience. He's like, I loved it. You get to the crowd out there, like, getting to see Belly, like, right there making catches too in center field. He's like, this is awesome. The Canario bomb, obviously we were going nuts. The guy in front of me, like, we made friends with some people around us. Guy in front of me apparently had, like, I don't know how much, I forget how much, I think he won like $70, but it was like plus 700 or something. And I'm like, shit, there we go. And I'm like, that was my dinger pick. And so, you know, great time. After the game, you hear all the Caleb Williams chants, which is why I have the Chicago Bears. We've got the draft coming up on Thursday. A lot of fuck Green Bay and a lot of fuck the Packers. And Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams. And, like, shouting. I think they might have been louder for that, Ron, than they were for the Go Cubs Go song after the win. Wow. Just saying something. But you're kind of confined there walking. Everybody's walking one direction. So, I, you know, my ears could have been a little skewed there. But, no, man, it was an awesome time. I can't wait to hear about your Friday there, too.
Yeah, Friday was fun. Friday was fun. And as he drops in the comments here, I did. I got to hang out with old friend Mr. Cody Del Mendo a little bit on Friday. We met there up for go. A beer at Murphy's. We all sat, you know, near our good friend Mr. Mai Tai Guy. Got to see him on Friday as well. Got to see Rachel as well. It was honestly, dude, it was a perfect day to be outside. It was, you know, 60 degrees. I wore shorts and a hoodie to the ballpark. Like, it was beautiful. It was peak Friday 120 action type stuff. It was a beautiful day to be out at the game. I just had a great time just literally just being outdoors. Like, there was a couple times I sat there and just took it all in. But Joey, you'll appreciate this. We had, like, obviously, you know, you've sat with Mai Tai Guy and with myself, and so you know the crowd that sits down there in good old section 504. And, like, I kid you not, the 10 rows in the middle of that section, it was the Deerfield High School senior ditch day. I kid you not, at least 100 kids deep, just a bunch of high schoolers. And they were having a blast, let me tell you. Like, they were harassing Clark the Cub, telling him to get in the weight room because he wasn't getting any of the baseballs out into the bleachers. They were just, they were having a day with everybody. One kid was a Packers fan, so he kept trying to start go pack go chants, and everybody would boo him and then start chanting fuck the Packers. Like, it was electric. It was honestly, it was an incredible atmosphere, though. It was so much fun. We honestly, it was just literally, it was just a beautiful day to be outside. And, you know, it called it an early night too. It wasn't an all night bender by any means. Got home, you know, made some homemade pizza with Miss Katie, Miss Lady. And, you know, it was just, dude, it was a good day. Like it was, it felt good to get outside for a 120 game. Cause that was my now second game back since opening day. But my second game was literally the second game of that series following opening day, was that, you know, that first night game of the season. So it felt good to get back out there. It'll be, and if it wasn't for that game, it would have been a couple, because I was supposed to be at the Thursday game that you ultimately ended up attending. Yeah, so as people know, Joey and I, as well as a friend of the program, Mr. Mitch, we share season tickets to the bleachers. So like Thursday was my game, and then I had Saturday's game as well, but I sold those because I knew I wasn't going to be able to go. And when they rescheduled it, I'm like, well, shit, now I can't go to this game either. And Joey was like, let's switch. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So it worked out perfectly. I'm glad that we did it that way. And like Boos said here, that's how you do senior ditch day. Dude, they were hilarious. There was for all the outfielders, didn't matter who came out there, poor Nick Gordon, because he got harassed by these kids for 9 innings. And they're asking him, they're, Nick, hey, Gordon, left hand ass, right hand tits. And then they would start chanting that. Left hand ass, right hand tits. Hilarious. Like, again, just peak 18-year-old shit was all that was happening all day in the bleachers. It was hysterical.
Important question. Did he respond?
No responses.
Oh, come on.
No responses. Gordon. So actually, fun fact about that.
He deserves all the shit then. He deserves all the shit.
Fun fact about that, while we're still on the topic of having fun before we actually got to talk about baseball, because I do see here a lot of discussions about one of our upcoming topics in the comment section. But
we don't even want to before we get to that.
I know we're not excited to talk about that. We're having fun talking about this one though. So that second game of the season at home in that Rockies series, when the Cubs blew the doors off the Rockies in that first night game, the Cody chant night where he went yard on the next pitch, there was not many people in the ballpark for starters. Like, the bleachers were very empty. It was cold. It was miserable. It was a horrible night to be out at a baseball game, truly. But we were having a great time still in the bleachers. And Bernie was at today's game. It's still a beautiful day to be at the ballpark, though. Outside of like Saturday, unfortunately, like the two bookend days of this series were beautiful days to be outside and be at Wrigley Field. So at least you're able to get there. But a lot of people probably forget from that game, just because it's, you know, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks removed now. At the end of the game, Ian Happ came out, as did like Swanson and a couple of the other guys. And Garrett Cooper came in and played left field for an inning. So Cooper's hanging out in left field for the first time as a Cub. And everybody's chanting to him. He's turning around and laughing and smiling. And, like, you could tell he was soaking it in. Like, he knew what to expect. And he's been there as a visitor before, so he knows what that feels like. So he gets to be on the other side of it. And somebody hit him with that from the bleachers. Because, again, there's nobody there. You can hear everything. Hey, Cooper! Left hand ass, right hand tits. And you could see him think about it because his head tilted back a little bit. And then it was a quick just little of the left hand. And everybody lost their mind. They're like, yeah! It was awesome. It was hilarious. So to even though we didn't get an answer from Nick Gordon or Ian Happ on Friday, or Alexander Canario, because then obviously Happ left the game with the hamstring stuff, and we are where we are now. Garrett Cooper had a blast with it that second home game of the season. So the fun still exists in this Cubs clubhouse, and I think a large part of that is in the form of Gary Cooper. But no, a great day to be at the ballpark on Friday. I'm glad you had such a great time on Saturday night, Joey. Truly, that's what it's all about. We're happy to share what it's like being out in the bleachers at beautiful Wrigley Field. But Joey, I think it's time. I think we need to dive into some of the topics here. We rolled through a little bit of what happened in this series. The win on Friday, 8-3, then the 3-2 loss, then the 5-3 win, and then today's 6-3 loss. A lot of the structure of the comments section focuses on one name. It's what to do with Kyle Hendricks and what should it be going forward and how he fits in with this team. Joey, I truly want to hear from you first on this, because I think coming into today's game, I was truly in the mindset of if Kyle can turn it around and has a solid start against the Marlins, then like all is okay. Like he's got the leash still and he's got plenty of time to fully figure it out. And for a while there, it looked like we were going to get to that point, because up until that, you know, what, that fifth inning, he was really good outside of the home run. And that one was just kind of unlucky. Jesus Sanchez was hitting like 194 coming into that today's game. And runs into one and puts it 460 dead center. Like, sometimes that shit happens. But I don't feel that way about him figuring things out, Joey. So I ask you, my friend, what the hell's going to happen with Kyle Hendricks?
So I am glad that you just gave me the little bit of a rundown of today, because truthfully, I did not get to see today's game because
whirlwind.
Yeah. So I was doing my own thing today. And we won our game, by the way, if that means anything at all. It probably does not.
Hey, we love that.
But I mean, I love that. And I think our team loves that. But yeah, man. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk going around about Kyle Hendricks, and I really, really was hoping. And actually talking with Mitch. Talked about Mitch, you know, tickets. He's the other one that goes in and out with us, and he's on my team. And he was saying, just hoping that he shoved today, right? Just hoping he shoved today and just shut everybody the fuck up. So was I. I was right there. Like, yes, please do that. That'd be awesome. The 12 ERA thing, it's scary. It's bad no matter which way you slice it. And this is I want to know. I guess I have another question for you before I'll give my like true thoughts on the topic. How did his command look? Were you paying close enough attention to that? Because I mean, when you're following a game, not pay close attention.
Yeah.
To that. So like,
so I'm
not
I was holding
that against you if not, and I know I was calling you out, not calling you out, but.
No.
On the spot.
I was listening to the game on the radio. So I feel like because of the nature of radio, they have to call out where the pitches are and things like that. So you get a good understanding of where the pitches are going. Almost so much to the sense of like you can't even like be deceived by your own eyeballs. Like you take the word for it from, in today's case, it was Zach Sabin because Pat Hughes was on television since Boob does Sunday Night Baseball. Mm-hmm. And he was really dialed in. So he went four innings today. Those first three innings, he looked really good. Like truly the only mistake he made was the Sanchez home run. That's it. He was dotting changeups on the corners. He was keeping the fastball to the outside of the plate for the most part. And then they really got after him in that fourth inning. That's when he gave up the big spot. And like Boo said, overall the command was rough. But there was those spurts, though, throughout the game where I was like, oh, he made a pitch. Like, you could hear it. Like, oh, okay. Like, something was still there. Because, like, as Everett says here, he didn't walk anybody today. But
sure.
Then he started to lose the command in that fourth inning, especially because he was getting dinked and dunked is what made it even worse.
I fucking hate that.
It wasn't the power.
Games. I hate that.
It wasn't the power. It wasn't like he was getting just smoked all over the yard. It was bloop here, guy gets on, guy does this, bloop here, score. Like, it was that kind of inning for the Marlins in the fourth. There was instances throughout the day listening to the game where I was like, oh, he made a pitch. Like, okay, that's good. Like, that's good. But the first pitch of the game was 88 miles per hour. And I went, fuck, here we go again. Because the velo's not there. Like, and you know what? Like, I feel like for a guy like Kyle Hendricks, that 2 miles per hour of being at least able to, like, be close to 90 is such a big difference for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
it was last year, right?
It was a huge thing last year. And this year he looks, I don't want to say old, but he looks not himself. And that's really what it is. And a couple of quick comments here, Joey, before you continue with your thoughts. We have to give love to, obviously, Mr. Tyler joining us in the comments section. He says, what's up, boys? He says he thinks Craig was pretty clear in the post game today about Kyle. Quote, we need better results. Kyle knows it. The Marlins are one of the worst teams in baseball, and this is what they got today. A couple of other interesting comments as well on the topic. Boosh said, I really think one more start could be when he gets it right. That would be lovely. I think they're going to give him that one, and I don't think they really have a choice at this point just because of the health of the pitching staff, but certainly something to keep an eye on. And then Filmmaker 12, he said, Kyle should go out like Kerry Wood. Pitch one more game, call it a night, give him a big standing O for everything he has done as the Cubs. Maybe. It's a lot of, you know, just – there's a lot of what-ifs, it feels like, around Kyle Hendricks right now, Joey, is truly where it is.
Yeah. So my thought on this whole thing, and I like what Everett was saying there about the zero walks, 5Ks. But to me, like, when – and Booge said it, you know, command was rough. So I guess I'm just going to go off of that for right now. And the dinking and dunking is just weird, right? That shit happens. Especially with Hendricks, because he can get jammed up and it's still a base hit. Hits it off the end of the bat. It's a base hit. It's not hard contact. That stuff just sucks. It's baseball. But the command part being rough, right? Like, there's a difference to me. And that's why between control and command, right? Control is throwing strikes. Right. Command is what Kyle Hendricks needs. Kyle Hendricks needs to be able to – I need to put that pitch there. I'm going to put that pitch there. And not – he can throw strikes and miss his spot, and it can be brutally bad for Kyle Hendricks.
Well put.
And so I think, at least from the other games that I've watched this year, his command has just not been where it needs to be so far. And he's very much a command pitcher. So even if you're throwing – and I get it. Baseball's transitioned into this sport of – high velo, right? We want the high velo guys, but there's guys that are throwing low 90s that can still get the job done, whether that's movement, whether that's sequencing. A lot of it just boils down to command, and if he can't find the command, then he can't pitch. Right. But I also think his historic numbers, historically, March and April is his worst month. Now this right here is probably his worst month. I have to go back and look, but like, probably his worst month, maybe ever, right? Like, historically bad for Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah.
But he's a slow starter, and like, evidenced by the rough first innings, all that stuff is a touch and feel. He needs to get himself dialed in. I think, now this is where I'm at on it. There are so many guys that are coming through the pipeline and guys that are right there. Like, we need to figure, they need to whittle this thing down to 5 guys or maybe even a 6-man rotation at some point. But there's very limited spots for a lot of good. And then Kyle Hendricks being the guy that's been bad. But I'm not ready, and this might be a hot take. I'm sure it is. I'm not ready. I'm kind of like Booge says this. He could have one more start where he starts figuring stuff out. I'm not ready to give up on him as a starter because I feel like when he's dialed in, he's a very, very good quality starter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's what he is, right? He's like, he could be your fifth starter, and that's perfectly fine. He's not your ace of the staff at this point. He's just not. He's not a one. He's not a two. But he can be that guy. It's just so much focused on command, and I don't want to give up on him, Ron. I know there's guys that are waiting in the wings, but like, I saw Ben Brown pitch out of the bullpen on Saturday night. That's so useful. And he could do that in the starting rotation too. He's a starting pitcher, right? By trade. Like that's where he started as a starter. He's not a bullpen arm.
Right.
But looking at the struggles, and this is where I'm going to kind of transition the conversation just a little bit. Looking at the struggles at out of the bullpen right now, that weapon, tell me which one plays better. A guy is a soft tosser out of the bullpen that's a control guy after seeing all these kind of – the Cubs starting pitching staff doesn't have many hard-throwing guys in it. They really don't. Or a guy that's going to come in there and pump 96 to 98 like Ben Brown does with that power curveball. I think Ben Brown is – and he's a two-pitch pitcher right now. Let's call it what it is. That's basically all that he is, a two-pitch pitcher. Not to say that can't play in the starting rotation. We've seen guys like Tyler Glass now be a two-pitch pitcher, especially earlier in their career.
Justin Steele.
Justin Steele. That's one of them right there, right?
Right, right.
Perfect example. And it's such a unique curveball. But I think, like, Ben Brown could be excellent in the bullpen. So, yep. I don't know. It's tough to say because Steele has to come back and take a spot, right? So, there are a lot of questions. I don't know what the right answer is, but I think that maybe you give them one, two more starts. Like, let's just see. Let's see where it goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate a differentiation of opinion here, and I got to share Hank's comment here. He says, enough with the excuses. He has 28 earned runs in 21 innings. He's not even close.
It's bad.
Ripped the Band-Aid off already. He doesn't give this team a chance to win. And I think that's what, to me right now, you know, to keep things short, because then we do need to move on to the bullpen here in more detail. I think that's the thing with Hendricks right now that's making things tough is – especially today, right? Like Hendricks looked fine the first time through the order. And then the guys get used to seeing 88 that looks like BP, and that's when they tee off on it. I'm almost wondering if Hendricks would be effective out of the bullpen at this point because he is a different look, right? Like
maybe.
What if you have, you know, Shota Imanaga or Justin Steele, a lefty with all movement on everything they throw, that you see for six innings, and then Hendricks comes at you with an 88-mile-per-hour freaking sinker and a changeup. Like, that actually could play, right? And, like,
it could.
You know, and because, like, you have some interesting comments here in the comment section about, like, will they trade Hendricks if they're in first place? That's from Sean Garner.
What are you Jeremiah getting from him? You're not getting anything for him, though.
And that's exactly where I was going to go, because Jeremiah says getting Hendricks off the payroll will be nice, but who will we trade for him? He's a UFA after this year. They're not trading him because he's not going to be able to be traded. He's $16.5 million with a 12 ERA. Nobody's in baseball is taking that, especially a team like the Oakland Athletics or somebody like that who have payroll issues. Nobody in baseball is taking his contract. And again, this is why now the clan of people that wanted Hendricks extended in the offseason then that were upset that they took his option, they give him the option as a thank you. That was the option, was, hey, here's 16 and a half. If you can do anything close to what you did last year, it's well worth it. And, you know, you got to just move on from there, right? But it's just things aren't looking good right now, and there's a lot of questions. And, you know, Darren says it here. He says he likes the idea of Steele, Imanaga, Tyone, Assad, Brown, and Wicks as the starting pitching options.
I
tend to agree, right? They're all guys that give you a little bit of different things out of the pen. Tyone looked really good on Friday. He looked dialed in. You knew he was only probably going to throw five innings just coming back for the first time, but he was efficient. You know, he was getting the job done. Things looked good with Jameson Tyone in the game. Like, he looked like Tyone that is a guy who we've talked about on this show during the offseason as a bounce back candidate for pretty much all of us this year, right? After 100%. A bit of a rough season in, you know, his first year in Chicago. But Joey, I think, like you mentioned, right, with the bullpen and where things are and the nature of the bullpen, there's a lot of questions in the comment section about like the closer, because Adbert's blown a lot of saves already this season with today's game, or I'm sorry, with Saturday's game, with him blowing the save. Alzolay has already blown four saves this season.
Awful.
That's tough. And there's a lot of questions here. You know, Jeremiah asks, should Wesneski be the closer? First off, he's not even back up with the team right now. He's back in Iowa. Ben Brown be the closer, maybe. I think the thing with and I want to share this and I want to get your take on it, because then even Sean Gardner follows it up and asks if the Cubs could trade for a closer. They're not making any trades yet. It's too early in the season. Nobody in baseball is ready to give up on their season and trade from depth. Unless it's a one-for-one trade that truly benefits both sides.
Well, Jetty basically said that the other day, too, on the radio when he was talking. So
nobody in baseball is making trades right now. It's way too early in the season. If you're making a deal, the earliest you probably see a trade is maybe late June. And that's if, like, the Athletics and the Marlins and teams like that are just done and they can get something for a guy. But I like what Craig Counsell said today on the pregame show for the radio. In talking to Zach Zaidman, he said, because they asked about Alzolay and getting right, and, you know, he's your closer. And people are so focused on closers because that's what baseball's historically been. And I really like what Craig had to say to that. He goes, we need 27 outs. He goes, I don't give a rat's ass who throws when. This is me. This is the Rob Luce spin on what Craig said. He didn't say rat's ass, I assure you.
He should have, though. That was better.
Oh, it'd be awesome. But he goes, he effectively said, I don't give a rat's ass how we get the 27 outs. We just need to get 27 outs. To me, the ideal way to build a bullpen is have a bullpen of all guys that could close baseball games for you, right? Like, that's the best case scenario, because then you're constantly firing out a fantastic option at any point. Because we've talked about it as Cubs on Tap. We constantly are in communication off the microphones. We talked about, you know, well, what if you put Leiter Jr. there? Well, then you lose that guy who's been your Houdini act coming into bad situations and getting you out of jams all year. It really is right now the best case scenario for the Cubs is just throw your best arms when you need them and figure out how to get to end of games. I think having labels on this bullpen right now is not the right approach, because very clearly Albert Elsley is not the guy that you want in the ninth right now. But maybe he's the guy you want in the ninth from June 15th onward.
Figures it out then, you know? I mean,
exactly. I think the closing baseball games by committee is going to become more of a thing in baseball, because at the end of the day, and I know everybody's asking, what about Carl Edwards Jr.? Who cares who closes baseball games is what I'm trying to say. I don't care who the closer is, as long as they get outs. Like, Joey, you could close baseball games if you can get me three outs. That's all I want. I want guys that can get this team outs. You know, Jose Quas coming back up, if that's, you know, Carl Edwards Jr., if that's whoever, it really doesn't matter to me. And I think that's how, like, I'm not telling people how to think, but, like, at least that's how I'm approaching it. And that's very clearly how Craig Counsell made it sound in his answer today. It's, I don't care who the closer is. Can they get me to the end of a ball game and keep a lead? Because at the end of the day, that's their entire job. And I think they can right now, they can abandon Albert Alzolay as the ninth inning guy until he gets right. Because you have guys like Hector Neris who closed the ball game that you were at the other night, Joey. Mm-hmm. He can close games. I know people are like, well, he's your setup man. Well, guess what? He's a really good relief pitcher. Throw him whenever the fuck you need to throw him. Like, I'm so over, like, we talk about baseball needing to evolve. And I apologize. I know I'm going on a rant here, but I'm a little fired up about this. We've gotten into this notion of like baseball needs to change, and baseball needs to be better, and baseball needs to do this. But no, we have to have a set eighth inning guy and a ninth inning guy in the bullpen. No, you fucking don't. You need a bullpen of guys who should be able to close ball games for you. Perfect case scenario.
Matchups too.
Exactly. And to me, you want a diverse group of bullpen arms that – in any given possible situation on any given day can give you the desired result that you want. Like you said, matchups are coming in, is something that'll come into mind. Certain guys pitch better or when guys are on base. Mark Leiter Jr. is a perfect example of that, is your Houdini act. You've got, you know, guys that can come in late and close games like Hector Neris. Maybe it is at some point a Hayden Wesneski, because we all know that Craig Counsell is very enamored by what he can do. Maybe it is Ben Brown on a given night because they just need that arm late in the game. I think right now it's not worrying about who's closing baseball games. It's who's just giving the Cubs leads, because right now, what, the Cubs are 13-9 now after today? You can make the argument this Cubs team should have like 18 wins already this season. Truly.
Dude,
how many games have been blown by this bullpen, whether it's Adbert in the ninth or it's Jose Quas in the sixth? It doesn't matter.
Don't even say that fucking name to me.
You know, and here's the thing. Like, and Darren says it. He says, totally agree with Ron. Just figure out the bullpen period before you start worrying about who's going to play closer. And Danny, with a hell of a comment here, Mr. Rocket, got to see Danny actually on Friday in the bleachers as well. He says, hear me out. What about Hendricks' closer? Hit him with the slow stuff. You zig, we zag, the new inefficiency. And that's exactly what I said, right? What if you have Hendricks come out of the bullpen? Because you have your starters, and then you have Luke Little shit pumping 97, and you have Ben Brown shit pumping 97, and then you bring Hendricks in throwing 88 at the end of the ballgame when their 7, 8, 9 hitters are up. I'd be happy if Kyle Hendricks could close ball games. But at the end of the day, right now, it's just let them get games in. And Sean brings up, too, and this is kind of going back to, you know, they signed more starters to Julio Teheran. Teheran, at this point, I wouldn't even worry about him as a starter. Justin Steele's going to start ball games at some point for this team. I think Cade Horton might start ball games for this team at some point this year. I think Ben Brown should be starting games right now for this team. Because this is also a problem, Joey, right? The bullpen is what it is. It's what, the fifth most thrown bullpen in baseball right now? It might even because be the third most. Guys aren't
giving you innings. That's the biggest problem, too.
The starting pitching's not going deep.
Yeah.
It's like, Joey, you said it perfectly in the pregame show. It's not just a bullpen issue. It's a pitching staff issue.
Yep.
The Cubs have a pitching problem. And this is something that, you know, Juice brought up early in the season, that he didn't love the pitching staff as a whole. Because right now, without Justin Steele, the only guaranteed guy that you know is going to go out and do exactly what you expect him to do in any facet of this pitching staff is Shota Imanaga.
And Mark Leiter Jr.
Yes, and Mark Leiter Jr. That's it. You're desperately missing a guy like Julian Merriweather right now. Dude, desperately missing a guy like Justin Steele.
Oh, my God. I'd give anything for Mark Leiter or Julian Merriweather and Steele, of course. But, yeah.
Of course. It's truly a problem, man. Like, you put it best, Joey. You said it in our pregame show. You're like, I want to talk about the pitching staff as a whole, because the pitching staff as a whole is a humongous question mark right now for this Cubs team.
Yeah, and you know – here's the thing, too. And you were talking about the where guys line up in the bullpen, right? And that's a huge talking point all over the place, especially with Cubs fans right now. And I get it. Here's the thing. It was getting more along the lines baseball-wide of shifting to that by committee, right? It was kind of going that direction. And then this year, it kind of transitioned back to that. Or it, actually a little bit last year, we started to see it solidify itself. Maybe second half of the season on, it solidified itself more as like a baseball, let's have our lockdown guy, our closer. So like looking at, and I know this is fantasy land here, but fantasy baseball, you had more, it was more predictable who was going to get the saves for each team. If you're looking for saves for closers, you could look at it this preseason and just really tell, like, okay, this team, you had like a group of like 15, 20 guys where you felt pretty good about, or 15 to 20 teams, you felt pretty good. You knew where it was coming from. The Cubs were always kind of that question mark. We knew it was going to be Alzolay. Like, a lot of people were just among the fantasy baseball community, which it's very smart. Like, a lot of these people, they put in like hard research and they study all 30 teams. Like, they will look at everything. And they were looking at the Cubs like, I don't know if he's one of the most reliable ones. He's probably going to get most of the work, but Hector Neris could be right around the corner. And so far, it's kind of proven to be right. And I'll say this too. I think it's interesting looking at a guy like Hendricks in the bullpen at the end. That's just a different thought process, and I don't hate it. I just think I don't want a guy that's going to put the ball in play a lot. Because that's scary too, because the BABIP stuff, then you're just relying really on the BABIP gods at that point. And I don't like that at the end of games. I want a guy that's going to come in there and, you know, almost like a Rollis Chapman. I know it's a long time ago, but sure. You know, this guy's pumping shit. He's shit pumping and he's going to put guys on their ass. And you got really no chance there. But yeah, Keegan, Cody, good comment there. Keegan seems to be back. Like, he was freaking awesome. He's been awesome since returning. I mean, if he's back, dude, that sweeper looks nasty. Like, he looks really freaking good. He's a bulldog. Like, we know his mentality, right? Something was off with him. It wasn't a mentality thing. His pitching, he lost it for a minute. Maybe that was a point of like working on too many things or just letting stuff go in weird places, like the control started to go a little bit command wise too. I don't know, he got tagged up. It's encouraging, like some of these guys are really encouraging. It's just you don't know who you can trust and when outside of Mark Leiter Jr. and maybe Hector Neris at this point. But I think it gets figured out. And here's the thing: you want to spend on the bullpen, right? Everyone's like, why didn't Jed Hoyer fix this problem? And I agree with that too. Like, maybe they should have went out and got one other guy. Problem with that is you spend on bullpen, you should be spending on other pieces. So I would have actually preferred another piece if you're going to spend more money somewhere else. Like, not to say that the bullpen is not a big thing, but they are producing arms, you know, whether it be the rotation, whether it be guys that are coming up like Keegan Thompson, who is kind of on a last chance type of situation here from a roster standpoint. But there are a lot of promise there. It's just figuring out the roles, and like maybe you said, Ron, like maybe it's just not roles. You don't look at this thing like from a role standpoint. I think Council is smart enough to understand, like, I want this guy against this team, against this lineup, in this situation. And the hardest part of it is, though, too, is you have no idea who's going to be ready to go when, because guys' arms get tired at random times, right? Mm-hmm. You can have a dead arm situation mid-season from a guy who he only threw, you know, maybe one game in the last three, but he's tired. So you need to rest him even more. Like, back-to-back nights, if you can't go back-to-back nights, you're probably not that helpful, or at least give more length, like 2 to 3 to 4 innings and then sit a few games. That's what sucks about Wesneski. He's pitched so well, and then you got to send him down immediately because it was like 4 innings or whatever it was.
Exactly. But
I think it gets figured out. Maybe that's the optimist in me. I just they're going to make a move at some point. It's just not yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think you kind of weather the storm, and then when Steele comes back, you get another option out of the bullpen. In my opinion, I wouldn't send down Jordan Wicks. I wouldn't. If you're taking him out of the rotation, I don't want to take him out of the rotation at all either. Put him in the bullpen. Where's that dominant lefty? Luke Little hasn't been fantastic out of the bullpen. He's been okay at times. Yeah. Drew Smiley's been okay at times. He's been pretty much that good, though. Put Jordan Wicks in the bullpen. Put the lefty out there. See what happens. So, I don't know. There's options, man. They got options. It's just a matter of figuring this shit out.
They do. I love this comment here from Darren, because he speaks it perfectly. And this is the one thing that you can see with the Cubs.
Good point. Really,
he says it's so hard buying relief pitchers because, like field goal kickers, it's so year to year. It is. It is year to year with bullpen arms. And that's why teams don't like investing big money in bullpen arms. That's why the Cubs are doing what they can to have this loaded pitching infrastructure within their system. That's why you saw them draft in the 2023 draft or the 2022 draft, whichever one it was, 17 pitchers out of the 20 or 15 pitchers out of the 20 rounds of the draft. They're loading up arms. You're going to find a couple of guys that can throw one inning for you if they got good stuff. And eventually that's what you roll with, and then you can work guys year to year. Keegan Thompson's a great example of that. 2021, 2022, he is one of the best relief pitchers on this team. 2023, he wasn't even with the team for most of the year because he was figuring shit out. And to your point, Joey, he's come back, and like Cody said in the comments as well, he's come back and he's looked great. 4 games, he still has a 0 ERA, only one hit allowed. two walks. So he's only allowed three base runners in seven innings of work, and he struck out 10. That's fantastic. Keegan looks like he's back, but it just shows that it's a year-to-year thing with bullpen arms, and that's why they're not going to go out and invest a ton of money in those guys because it's such a volatile position in baseball. But Joey, speaking of things that are volatile, you had some thoughts on the volatility of this lineup and with certain players and cold streaks because Ian Happ down for the count. They think he'll be back Tuesday, but a little hamstring tightness. They want to be careful with it. You're already down, Seiya Suzuki. Michael Busch has been picking it up. Dansby Swanson's been picking up. Nico Horner's turned on the Jets, and he looks like a new ball player after that Arizona series. He's hot. Not just looks-wise, like physically on a baseball field as well.
That too, though.
But, you know, these other guys are needing to carry the team. But one guy you're concerned about, Joey, and this is why I want to open the floor up to you, is Christopher Morel and his recent struggles and what's going on. Because as of the end of today's game, Christopher Morel has a .205 batting average and a .633 OPS. Sir, thoughts on Christopher Morel?
Yeah, it's – I don't know. I guess that's what I wanted to talk about here because it's concerning that since that hand, finger issue, whatever it was, he's really, really not played well. I mean, as far as offensively goes. And I think, you know, with the glove being questionable like it is at times, and he's improving. We see the improvements. I see – we could tell he's working hard over there, making some plays. Like, he makes some really good-looking plays when he does make them. Sometimes the routine stuff is what he seems to struggle with. But, like, I mean, that's just the nature of a guy learning how to play the position and really putting in the work. He's athletic enough. A lot of people have brought up this point. He's athletic enough to play pretty much anywhere, especially third. He's got the cannon. But I'm really worried about the offense here. And I like – he still does have the plate discipline, right? He's taking walks. Like, this is something that he wasn't doing when he was good, when he was killing the ball last year, you know, times prior. I mean, he has not had that plate discipline. He has it this year. So it's just a matter of clicking, picking out the good pitches that are in the zone, I think, to really strike. And I hope that the aggressiveness I need to, like, look at this. I hope the aggressiveness has not gone down at all with the newly found plate discipline, right? Because sometimes you can get a little bit of less aggressive with pitches that are in the zone that are good to hit. Like Seiya Suzuki. Seiya Suzuki has done that over the course, like before this season and before really the second half of last season. He was a little bit too complacent with pitches in the zone. I know that's something that Ian Happ has even talked about. He was a young kid when he came up with the Cubs. That's something he talked about. I need to be a little bit more aggressive with pitches that I know I can drive. Maybe that's the case here. I don't want to say that without actually looking into like what his numbers look like there. But I do think that maybe it's possible that there's an issue there with the hand or finger, and they're just not – he's playing through it right now, and because it's something that maybe isn't super serious and it'll get better over time. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm super concerned about it. It's kind of like the Nico Horner thing, right? Like, people were, oh, he's off into a slump. Like, this is Nico Horner. This guy hits in his sleep. Like line drives. He's not going to hit for power. He hits in his sleep, though. Like, he's going to figure this out. It's a slow start. So, I don't know. I just hope that Morel, like, he can kind of be streaky, too, though. So, when, you know, almost like a Dansby Swanson situation where hopefully both these guys start to click at about the same time. And then, you know, Bush and these other guys, when they start to have their inevitable slumps, because everybody's going to slump. It's a long season. It happens.
It's baseball. We know it. Yep.
Like, when those guys start to slump, then the other guys start to pick it up a little bit. You want the clutch hits, though. That's kind of – I will share a little bit of a gripe with you before we – you know, I want to hear what you have to say or what you think about Morel. I was a little bit pissed on Saturday. I was driving when – and Cario hit the home run in the second game, and so did Belly. They both hit home runs. And I know this is something we talked about in our group chat, and Juice had another thought on the situation, which – neither one of us are right or wrong. Like, I don't, you know, and I kind of agree with him. I wouldn't have liked the bunt in that situation. But after you bunt, and then Canario's up, and it's second and third with one out. It's a total contact situation in that spot. You want to drive in two runs, but who's the guy that doesn't strike out like at all right now? Because he changed his entire swing, you know, last season. It's Cody Bellinger. Not pinch hitting Cody Bellinger, especially on 420, and then he hits a home run in game two. I was like, that is a ball in play situation. It's a good learning moment for Canario to step in the box. I know lefty-lefty. Belly's been good against lefties, though.
Yeah.
Like, you just want the ball in play. You have to get one run in that situation. But so there's little things here with the offense. It's not all on the players. Some of it a little bit could be where they're lining them up to. Like, so we've seen some pretty weird lineups, but some of that is due to guys that are available, right? Like you were saying pre-show, talking about, say, a Suzuki being out. Like, that's such a linchpin of your lineup. You need Suzuki at all times. You need 100%. In half at all times. This lineup is totally different without those two guys.
Yeah, it really is. And you nailed it on the head, Joey. Just a couple of small things to add on to here as well when it comes to the offense. I agree with you. I think a lot of the decisions that had to be made with Council over the series, especially with the doubleheader played in there, as well as the health of this ball club, right? You had no Ian Happ in this four-game series, or I guess 3.5 games of it. You know, we played most of Friday's game, but you know, you wanted to give guys like Bellinger and Swanson a little bit of a breather. You know, and you're already without a guy like, say, a Suzuki, who, you know, I've seen this written in our Cubs on Tap group text more times than not. You know, this offense and lineup looks completely just not the same without, say, a Suzuki. Like, say, a Suzuki, there's a reason he was the two-hole hitter coming into the year. He is just as important. Yeah, he's just as important as the next guy for this offense. But a little bit too back to Morel, though, in particular. If you look at his Baseball Savant page, you know, he's still hitting. His average exit velo is still in the 75th percentile in baseball. Barrel rate still in the upper third of baseball. Hard hit rate is still upper 72nd percentile of baseball. So I think he's still hitting, but I heard this on one of the broadcasts. I cannot recall if it's radio or television within the last few, you know, weeks here, but they said that, you know, Morel is still, like you said, he still has the plate discipline and things like that. But when he is swinging, it's not that same just, what was the term they, the term they used was so perfect. The violence in his swing, that's what it was. He's lacking a little bit of that violence. And I do think it is because of that injury. Because if you think about it, right, on a finger, like he's not a guy that sweet spots the ball. He's only in the 16th percentile in sweet spots percentage, is Morel, according to Baseball Savant. So he's not sweet spotting the ball when he's launching these balls into orbit. That's just not Morel's thing. He's, because he's so violent when he swings, is when he gets that power. I think with the hand, you know, you don't swing as violently because that hurts like hell when you make contact anywhere but the sweet spot of the bat. You know, that might be something that is affecting him. And again, just because of the nature of so many important pieces already down for the count injury-wise in this lineup, Morel might just be trying to suck it up and play through it and give them, you know, something better than nothing. Darren had an interesting comment here, though, about Morel. He says, thinking maybe put Morel in the seventh spot for a while with a question mark. In fairness, besides struggling, he had a run of hitting right at them some. Yeah, you know, guys are going to go through that. He's still hitting the ball hard, which is encouraging. Mm-hmm. But I do think there is a little bit of that violence missing right now. And personally, I do think it's related to an injury. So I think you nailed it on the head, Joey, truthfully. I think,
it's nice,
you know,
to see that he had a double today, though, too. On a, you know,
indeed.
That is encouraging.
Indeed, yeah. And he's a guy that, again, if he can, you know, kind of get out of his little rut now, especially without Seiya, if they get Happ back on Tuesday and he continues to play healthy, you know, things can look up. You know, you don't love a split against the Marlins here, but, you know, you did at least win two games. You didn't lose the series to the Marlins. If they lost this series, that would have been not crippling, but it surely would have been one you would have circled at the end of the year and been like, that was ugly. You know, it might still be one that you look back and go, that was ugly, but 2-2 is a little more salvageable than a 1-3 or even a sweep, God forbid, when it's all said and done. Joey, I want to turn back over to you really quick. Any final thoughts on this Marlins series before we go ahead and push our thoughts forward to the next week?
Yeah, I mean, it's baseball. You can split against any team. Legitimately. I mean, I know we want to sweep every single team that sucks. You want to sweep every team that's good, too. You can sweep the good teams. We saw them sweep, what was it, the Mets when they were really good a year or two ago. And we're like, oh, yeah, maybe they're doing pretty solid. And then
Season swept the Phillies.
Yeah. So, I mean,
22. Yeah.
It happens. Like, you can beat the big dogs and beat up on them. You could get killed by the lesser teams. You don't want to. At least play 500, if not a little bit above average at five. Well, definitely above average 500. You want to beat the bad teams. That's what you should do legitimately. 100%. But it's going to happen where you have these series, and it just sucks that it's at home. I think that first game of the doubleheader, if there's one game that's going to stick out to me, it's going to be that one. You can't blow that game, right? That's one of the games where, you know, Tyler's making his list, right? Mm-hmm. Tyler, I think it does make the list. I really do think it makes the list. Because that's a game where you had it in the bag. We've seen at least three or four of these games where they definitely should have won or at least had a really good chance of winning. And I heard it on the radio, you know, driving to my game today, this morning, or about 12:30. I forget who was talking about it, but if you take two out of those three games that you should have won, at least two of them to be on the safe side, right? What's your record look like now? Like, it's – that can be big. So I definitely do want to make of that game. It's just not the end of the world. Like, it's a long season, and this team can catch fire, and it's good to see that there is those – they do have good spirits, I think, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, Garrett Cooper out in the outfield and, you know, doing the – left-hand ass. I mean, well, you know, why not, man? These guys are professionals. They'll figure it out. I truly believe that. They're not the most talented team in the league. They're definitely not. But I think they're coached well enough, and I think they have good spirit, and they have a well-rounded lineup. Like, I look at this lineup, and I look with Seiya healthy, with Hap healthy, and that's a lot of ifs right now because it's not there. But I think 1 through 6, like, this lineup is pretty damn solid. They can run with anybody like that. The pitching staff, the rotation, we've seen pretty damn solid. Do they have a legit ace? I think they do with Steele. I think Shota, a lot of people, just to go back to that real quick, a lot of people went into the season saying he's a three. He's just a three. That's what everyone's projecting him. He's a three. Do you know how many strikeouts he got overseas? This guy was K-ing people. He wasn't just – he's not a power pitcher by term, like throwing velo, right? But he strikes guys out because he's fucking nasty, and he mixes his pitches well. And like Baker, my friend, was saying, he knows how to pitch. Like, the way that he goes about it, he
knows. Yeah, you don't earn the name pitching philosopher if you don't know how to pitch.
Yeah, right. There's the professor. There's the professor, and there's the philosopher. Professor needs to figure it out, but
otherwise he's going to be. Shipped his ass into retirement. But yeah. Like Tyler said here, Joey, that game did make the list. And yeah, Joey, you put it right. Adding just a quick thought to everything you just said, I know it was a lot of things, but Craig Counsell put it best today in his pregame interview with Zach Zaidman. He said, you know, baseball is a sport that will quickly remind you that you cannot get too high and you cannot get too low, because otherwise you will be very humbled very quickly the next day when you have to trot back out there and play another game. He said, you know, we have a good team that's able to wipe away the previous day or the previous game almost immediately, whether it's good or bad. You know, you saw it a little bit on Saturday with them being able to come back from behind in game two. You know, you saw it on Friday, you know, coming out of that win against the Diamondbacks and then the off day, they're able to keep the momentum going. They've shown a lot of good stuff. And again, this is still a ball club that I think is still truly gelling and figuring things out. Joey, you mentioned it perfectly. There's a lot of season left. They played 22 games. You know what that means? There's 140 of these motherfuckers left on the schedule yet. There's a lot of baseball to be played. Yes, there is. You know, you want to take, you know, 3 out of 4 against a team like the Marlins, and especially these type of series. But at the end of the day, you're not always going to get that, right? Everybody's still a major league ball club. Like, even the worst teams in baseball still win 60 games. Like, just you got to reset, regather, regroup. You got an off day on Monday, And then you got three games with a team that's also struggling here, and that's where we're going to turn our attention, Joey, because the Houston Astros come to town this week. Currently, all the pitching matchups are TBD for both sides. But yes, as somebody said it a little bit earlier in here, that we will see Justin Verlander this week at Wrigley. That is all but confirmed. Or Sean asked, do they face Verlander this week? I believe they will see Verlander potentially in one of these games. But outside of him, their whole freaking pitching staff is on the IL right now. They're really off to a rough start. 7-16 are the Astros. They're last place in that AL West right now. Just a brutal, brutal start to the season for Houston. The Cubbies, we don't know who they're going to trot out. Realistically, I think at the end of the series, we could see Jameson Taillon. I believe that works into the 5 days of rest. Maybe we see Justin Steele. He threw live BP at Wrigley Field this weekend. So maybe there's a chance that Steele gets activated. He's well past that 15-day window to be activated from the IL. And then we'll get, you know, more information than obviously who's going to start Tuesday's game, probably on Monday. That'll all probably be revealed sometime Monday afternoon. They'll probably let the press know who's going to throw each of the 3 days coming up against Houston. But Joey, I want to ask you quickly, what do you need the Cubs to do in these three games, to pick up a series win over the Astros?
Go deep. And I guess it's both ways. Go deep, hit some bombs. But you need to go deep into games, man. Like, the 5 innings, that's just not going to cut it. 4 or 5 innings, barely getting into the 5th inning. Let's go deep, man. Let's get 6, 7 innings. I want some good starts here. I think that really could help out the bullpen here, because the bullpen is, by all means, struggling for the most part when you look at the whole picture. When you're blowing leads, and especially games when you're winning, that's a bullpen failure. That's how I look at things. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's Alzolay. I don't care if it's Neris. I don't care if it's Little. If it's Smiley, it doesn't matter who it is. When you're blowing games, you're losing, and that's not good for the team. And this lineup, man, the Astros lineup, I know they're off to a rough start right now, but you look up and down this lineup, and they can absolutely smash the ball. Like Yordan Alvarez, I'm looking right now, Kyle Tucker, Bregman, who's off to a slow start, Altuve still, Jeremy Pena. Like, they got guys in that. Cormick's starting to turn it up a little bit now. They've got guys who can absolutely rake, so it's important that you're not missing with your pitches. Like, get aggressive, but you gotta know where your spots are and really sequence against this team, because they are vets. I mean, they're World Series champions still on this team. I'm looking at it, and I want some W's, though. This is a good challenge, even though, like, despite their record, I think this team is better than what they are.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a good challenge for the Cubbies this week. I think a lot of who their starters are is going to be very indicative of just the type of performances we can expect from them. Three games this week. It is a 6:40 matchup on Tuesday to start the series off at Wrigley Field. Marquee Sports Network, if you're in the local market. If you are outside of it, this game will be nationally broadcasted on TBS. So that is something to keep in mind for those outside of the Chicagoland market. On Wednesday, they're back on Marquee. It's another 6:40 start in Game 2. In Game 3, it is getaway day, so it will be a 1:20 start on Thursday afternoon to conclude this series. That will actually probably be the next time that we will have this style show. We got some fun content changes coming here at Cubs on Tap. This is kind of the unofficial announcement of that, but some stuff that we're very excited about. You may or may not see us during a game again, like you did a week ago. That went really well and was a lot of fun.
That was freaking awesome. How did you pull that off, Ron? I need to know.
What? Eating 9 hot dogs and 9 beers in 7 innings?
Yeah.
Because I told everybody I was going to make that challenge, my bitch, and I did.
You're the fucking man.
Everybody was like, oh, the 999's so hard. I was like, no, it's not. I can finish it in 7 innings, and I did.
By the way, the hardest part? I think we would kill that. Well, probably because you're on my team, but.
Oh, yeah. For against the Sox? Yeah, we crushed the Sox on Tap, guys. I will say this. It is. I would believe it's harder to do at a baseball game because you have to have the hot dogs and the beers, right? Like, physically getting them is half the battle. So
I'm not buying. Sorry. Not you at know a how ball much game. We spent yeah. nine hot dogs at a game
and nine beers. That's like a hundred. That's like $125.
Sorry, I want to go to more games this season. I'm not doing.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm not doing it at a game either. I'll happily do it outside of a game again, though. Yeah, it was doable, man. The hot dogs are good. The ninth one was a little hard to choke down. I'm not gonna lie, but and then the beers went easy once the hot dogs are done. That was the key, was kill the hot dogs first, and then the beers you can coast and do one pretty much per inning from there. But we made it work. So again, we're going to have some fun stuff coming. We're going to have live streams, watch alongs. We might have some more crazy challenges. Maybe it's not the 999 specifically, but things like that for whomever it is on the show. So we will be back Charlie with you guys.
Oh,
Jesus.
On air.
Yeah. Oh, Joey's why we do this dying.
All I did was bend my leg, dude. That's how you know. I'm old.
I think that's your leg telling you need to get some food and some water in your body, and then
I haven't eaten dinner
get things going. Well, that's why we got to get you going. But so we will be back again with a style show like this on Thursday. Well, we will be recapping the Houston Astros series, and then it's draft night. So a lot of the Cubs on Tap focus will switch to Bears on Tap focus. Myself and Juice will be live on Bears on Tap with our good friend and fellow Cubs fan, Mr. Quentin Crisco. So do be sure to tune into that over on Bears on Tap. For the round one action, on round two night, that will be Quentin and Juice on the microphone for that. For a little while, they'll be live probably during the second round based on what happens on Thursday. And then, you know, plenty of write-ups and all that good stuff. But again, that's where the focus will start to shift come Thursday afternoon. So you'll join Juice and I at Cubs on Tap, and then we'll flip things right over to Bears on Tap and get ready for the NFL draft. The Bears are on the clock, and we almost finally get to know who will be number one overall officially for the Chicago Bears. But, Joey, before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody as well, because you won't hear from us till at least Tuesday, either it's the live stream or any form of content with no game on Monday, do check out our friends over at the Dingers podcast. You saw Booge in our comment section a little bit earlier. They will be live tomorrow on Monday. That'll be at about 8 o'clock start Central Time right here on the OnTap Sportsnet YouTube page. Do tune into them. The guys do a great job as always. We'll be tuning in as well to watch them and see what they have to say about the state of the Chicago Cubs on an off day on Monday. Follow them over at Dinger Cubs on the socials. Do follow us as well at Cubbies on Tap on the socials, at Joey Knows Nothing, at Loose on Tap. Follow the rest of our crew as well, at Juice on Tap, at TeddyFreddy270, at Nick_on tap. And again, do give a lot of love to our guy, Mr. Bobby Foster. Can't wait to get him involved and get him on these airwaves at some point, but he's been killing it on the writing side. He's at SilentBob_2 on the old socials. Do give Bobby Foster a follow. And again, you know the drill. We got it all. Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks. Bulls and Blackhawks just finished up their seasons. Blackhawks did not make the postseason. Bulls did, but lose in the play-in tournament. Those shows will transition to off-season mode now. GM Ron gets to come out on the Four Feathers podcast. Very excited for that. And again, the Bears GM on Tap, Ron. Guys. Hey, it's fun. I like doing GM Ron shit. But then on Thursday, the Bears on Tap guys will be fully dialed into the NFL draft and then everything that transpires afterward as we lead up to football season. So do follow all of that great content there as well. And as always, Cubs fans, you know the drill. You got friends that like the White Sox. So do we. Send your friends to our friends. They can be friends over at Sox on Tap. OnTapSportsNet.com, at OnTapSportsNet on the socials, the OnTap Sports Network. Go ahead and check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. Joey, this was a pleasure, buddy. Happy Sunday. Fun day to you. A fully loaded show here, over an hour of good content for everybody that is listening at home. We'll be back with you guys for this style show where we're actually talking the X's and O's of Cubs baseball and the Jimmies and Joes on Thursday. But we'll have some live stream content likely coming to you guys between one of the two games on Tuesday or Wednesday. Enjoy the Cubs off day, and we'll see you guys very soon from here at Cubs on Tap. Joey, what do you say, buddy? We got here the only way we know how at Cubs on Tap.
Sorry about your damn luck. No, I'm just playing. That was a wrestling thing. Go Cubs, go! Fuck the Cardinals.
Absolutely. Fuck them. They're in last place at 9-13. And let's go, Cubbies, baby.